You are the man now, dog. 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 You are the man now, dog.
Hi, everybody, and welcome to Patio Conversations with Dan and Ryan. I'm Dan.
And I'm Ryan. And you know what? It's still You're the Man Now, dog, but it is a lot nicer out today.
It is a lot nicer out today. We have decided to do one of these in person. We did one for all you, you know, if you're editing the Wikipedia, we tried one with Happy Hour with Talia and Victoria. We lost the audio.
That's right.
So Ryan and I are trying a little two-man distance one before we try it again with the Happy Hour gang.
I did look at the video from that. The video, which we have, the angle's not great, and you can hear just a little bit of us.
Oh, yeah.
So, maybe, you know, maybe an Easter egg.
Yeah, maybe we'll throw that out and just blast the gain on that, so you're just hearing it, everything around.
Right. But, the worst piece of content ever produced, but it is still produced.
That's our $50 shit tier. If you want the worst content we make, we'll be putting it all in there.
If you think it's funny to throw away money on crap we did wrong, sign up for the $50 shit tier.
I mean, everybody loves funny money.
I think so.
So we're here for all you asking. You know, we are in a backyard in an undisclosed location.
Right. Let's just say it's on the West Coast.
It's on the West Coast.
And the address is
3428.
1600 Pennsylvania Avenue.
Yes, we are in the newly renovated Rose Garden. Our friend Melania did her best.
That's right. She really hooked it up with the cinder blocks back here.
Oh, my God. But, I mean, look at that.
There's no better background than a bunch of dirty cinder blocks.
And let us know, for all our big fans that are just listening, if you can hear the construction going on at our neighbor's house.
What would you say? We can hear it.
We can hear it.
And it's in my headphones, so I assume it'll make it to the track.
Are you picking it up on the HPs?
Know, just every once in a while. And you know what? It's not about whether or not your podcast has construction in it.
No. No. The podcast experience has almost nothing to do with what it sounds like.
That's right. I agree.
Now, we are recording this on September 2nd. We have made it three quarters of the way through 2020.
Mm-hmm.
Isn't that?
And I'm going to call it three quarters of the way through the pandemic. I think it's over in 2 months.
It's over in 2 months. So that's that's got the Ryan Rosenberg stamp of approval prediction there.
Yes.
2 months and we're done.
2 months and we're done. Or I'm done. One of the two.
In 2 months, it will be over, if you understand what I mean.
As far as my understanding will go, there won't be any more of it.
There's a wasp coming around my way.
Oh, God.
Chill out, in the words of Schwarzenegger.
Some stuff you just don't need the answers to, but I kind of go, why do we need wasps, and how do we just get rid of them?
Yeah. And the way to get rid of them is a foaming spray that you buy at the nearby hardware store.
Capitalism. Big wasp.
Yeah. Big wasp trying to get you to get rid of the wasps.
Well, you know who sells the anti-wasp spray? The wasp.
Create a problem, sell the solution.
Exactly. And what do you think this is?
That's the wasp way. And we don't mean for all of you in New England, all you white Anglo-Saxon Protestants, we're not dragging you.
Right. That's for every other time.
That's for the rest of the world all the time.
Well, Dan, how are you today? I feel like it's nice to be outside and it's quite refreshing to get to do the thing we like to do with my same buddy, but in a new location.
Good perspective.
I like this outside thing, and it's, you know, we're still doing what we do.
You brought a quesadilla over for me, a breakfast quesadilla, so I'm filled to the brim.
I thought I was going to say, brought a case of beer over, and I was like, no, I didn't.
You brought a case of beer over? Oh, wait.
Oh, wait, you didn't. You brought me a stinky little quesadilla.
Would have loved a six-pack plus 18, whatever a case is.
Well, yeah, what is a case? 20? I feel like a case is like a 20 bottles. That's
20 bottles.
Because it's like a, you know, like what a bar gets, a case.
In Mexico, when we used to go and you would get beers there. Yeah, I've been to Mexico in the past.
You're a bit of a resort guy.
Yeah. We stay at the Westin in whatever town you're in. So
you mean Best Westin?
Best Westin. And it's supposed to be Best Restin, but the owner has a lisp. No offense. But in Mexico, when you get, at least where we would go, when you get like a case of beers, if you return the case and the bottles, they give you some cash back.
Uh-huh.
We don't have that. I mean, you have that here technically. Right. At the, like, places, but the places, the, like, recycling.
Right. We have, like, national recycler, or, you know, whatever your city has, municipal,
I guess. What if you could, how much would people recycle if every time you went back to 7-Eleven, you could give them your bottles?
Right.
And you'd get a discount.
And I feel like you see that on, like, little things, like, you ever have that where it's almost a burp, but it never materializes, so it's just a bubble of pressure.
Not yet a burp, not yet a bubble.
Exactly, Dan. Exactly. Where
those suck, by the way.
They hurt really bad, and you look crazy. You go,
excuse me. You have to do it like, excuse me, while you're choking on your own air.
The older you get, you just can't help becoming like a man's body.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and you're like, I swear I'm not.
Yeah. Yeah. Standing up, sitting down.
Right.
Oh, God. Right.
But I was going to say, you get some of that money return on like a local, like we did that bartender thing from your friend. They were like, if you give us the bottles back,
we'll
give you $3 off the next thing or something.
Yeah.
Like I've known like local people to do it, but it should be everybody.
Everything that is good for the world should be done on a mass scale.
Right. I feel like that's part of, but it should be like done on a mass scale, small everywhere.
Yeah,
like I feel like we have it on a mass scale, but so everybody goes like, oh, I don't know, they handle it.
Yeah.
And then it doesn't actually happen. But if every bar you could just give them the bottle back,
right, that I'm sure everyone at home is like, that's what your recycling bin is. You literally,
right,
we do have it every week, but what we're talking about is different.
I'm talking about person to person.
Yeah.
I'm saying that a lot of stuff gets lost in the cracks when you go like, oh, it's the government's job,
right,
or like, oh, it's, but now I sound like a libertarian or something.
And you might be. I'm going to go let Stella inside. She got hot or bored, and she's just standing by the door begging, and which we'd show you, but the camera is in the most position.
That's right.
Precarious position possible.
So the camera, folks, I'm staring right into it. We're really interacting here. It is on top of a large cardboard box, on top of a small cardboard box, with a book behind it, and my wallet set up sort of in an A-frame to hold it where it is. We didn't bring the clip attachment that attaches it to the tripod that we normally have. So we have sort of a janky setup, and it took us, what would you say, 20 minutes of like frustrated male grunting and sighing?
Yeah, it was, it was like 20 minutes. It was more sighing than like sometimes when it's like dealing with a thing that's making us mad. I think we were
pissed,
it was more just like,
this should be easier.
And we weren't, I would say we weren't giving it our full 100%. We were using the things around us.
Yes. I just explained to them the tools we used.
Mm-hmm.
Two books, two boxes, and my wallet as an A-frame.
Yes.
I'll tell you what, it does work.
I'm going to take a picture of the setup that will.
Okay, here we go. Now, camera, picture in picture.
PIP.
Classic.
And you
PIP.
Know me.
And this will also be going, this will be going out PIP. This will be going out SAP for all of our Spanish language speakers.
Mucho gusto.
Well, there it was. There was the SAP.
And it will also be going out, we'll probably send it out OPP for If You're Naughty by Nature for all our naughty listeners.
Absolutely.
Naturally naughty.
It's also going to be going out GoPP in case you have to go. Okay.
Which I will and always do.
Absolutely.
I wonder if my... Am I coming in hotter than you on here?
I think you sound great.
Okay, good.
Do you think that you could get, and no judgment on this, of course, a larger bladder? Can you get your bladder enlarged? And I don't mean one. I mean Dan Lippert.
Yeah, yeah. I would like to. I mean, I'm still trying to figure out why I pee so much and why my back hurts all the time. I'm hoping that, first of all, I don't need a new kidney. Because that might be the thing instead of a larger bladder.
No, but I want to trivialize your pain.
But the larger bladder, I guess I could. I mean, I wonder if I have a normal sized human bladder, but I'm 6'7", so I'm taking in a big man's water.
Well, I think you have a big bladder that doesn't want to hold on to anything, because, like you said, you're big enough.
Mm-hmm.
You got the size.
I got the size.
But why can't it stay in the bladder for longer?
Right. I don't know.
Crazy convo?
No.
Okay.
I think it might be a bladder size thing. It might be the way I'm processing stuff.
Okay.
I don't know.
Could be prostate.
It could be. Oh, I didn't even think of that.
I don't know. Let me give you a bunch of things to freak out about on WebMD.
Oh, no. My prostate's broken.
My prostate's spreading.
Well, guys, I have it. I have prostate spreading.
Hell yeah. Sounds hot.
That's hot, dude.
That's so hot.
But yeah, I would love, because I pee freely. How many times would you say you pee a day?
I don't know. You want to give us your number first?
I was just doing the math last night because I was looking up what was unusual.
The math? Was it pretty complex?
Yeah, I mean, there's integers. Uh-huh. There's definitely integers.
Which is a longer name for number.
There's a lot of rational integers. Is that what it's called? Irrational? What are numbers that don't, like, over, like 3/0?
That's an irrational number. It's like a not funny? Real number. Irrational. Yeah. Hey, why did we have to learn about them? They're so theoretical.
Hey, just so you know, if you put 7/0, that doesn't exist.
I know. Thank you.
Thanks, Mr. Teagarden, you idiot.
If you have nothing and try to divide it 7 times, you won't have anything to divide. No, I know. I had nothing.
Uh-huh. So this is the next 4 years of high school? Is you wasting my time with all this shit?
I wish I had that adult confidence in high school to just go, uh-huh.
Uh-huh.
Keep going.
So what now?
Okay, I'm going to get out of here.
Hey, let's raise our hands if we're not going into the maths or sciences. All right. Bye forever.
Let's raise our hands if we have absolutely no plan and are not going to make one.
All you guys enjoy getting rich off of your like engineering degrees Silicon Valley.
Right. Enjoy Silicon Valley. I do hear it's beautiful.
It's gorgeous. There's a lot going on in Silicon Valley right now. I don't know if you know this.
I'll tell you what, there's a lot.
There's a lot. Uber? Lyft?
Uber Eats?
Uber Eats? Lyft drinks?
Have you heard of Facebook?
That's huge.
I heard that has spread.
That's in Silicon Valley and it's big. Silicon Beach is a big in Los Angeles.
Silicon.
I wish. Baywatch.
Now, how much would it cost if we got you the highest quality implants and we paid for them gratis, of course. You got these implants free and they look really good. They look gorgeous, like, you know, how implants do. Mm-hmm. And how much would that cost for you to be willing to
how much
that?
Would my friends have to pay me to get implants kind of thing? Yeah.
But again, we pay for the implants as well and they're nice,
so
and that's not me saying this, this is the doctor. I could care less for him.
And
we're not going to Dr. Pimple Popper, we're going
okay, good.
Dr. Implant.
That was my first thing is, If my implants are from Dr. Pimple Popper, I'm going to be worried that I'm going to get the wrong surgery.
Well, I'm really sorry I mixed up your chart today. I popped your implant, and you put an implant in your zit.
I don't think.
Here comes the real answer.
Maybe I'm not thinking rationally enough, but I don't know how much my life would really be affected if you gave me implants.
Yeah, you're not thinking rationally. It would literally change the way everybody thinks about you in the wholest way.
That's
available.
True. If I wore a cross body bag, it would really show them off.
And then if they heard that Big Grande made you do it, they would be like, okay, I think we hate this.
Maybe a million.
That would be so interesting for you to just be like, hey, I don't care. I'm a millionaire now.
I have $1 million and, oh, by the way, single for life now.
By the way, they're fake and they're spectacular. They're
spectacular.
Because I wonder. I guess I do wonder what you'd look like with big old knockers.
I'll give you half an example here.
No.
We'll just see.
Oh, no. Uh-oh, guys. Don't forget we're on camera. You can all see this.
First of all, pregnant. Just so you know.
Okay, I'm confused. I believe it. Okay, half an example.
So what do we think?
That's
already?
What I was talking about. Good.
Already, I don't know where I'd put my arms. Oh, it might be better.
Actually,
resting my microphone
I agree.
On here.
I agree.
$20.
You got it. You got it.
What about you? What do you think? Would you do it?
I wouldn't do it. Because I already have a lot of self... Well, no, it's the opposite of sellout. It's having integrity.
Oh,
you just scraped your tip. You just scraped your tit with an outdoor flower pot, it looks like. I can't believe that didn't go well. I don't think I could do it. I still have a lot of self-consciousness and shame about already having breasts as a man.
Yeah, same.
Because growing up, I definitely had little boy boobs. And for most of my life, it was true. But also became a little body dysmorphia of like, once you think you have them, you have them. You know what I mean?
Yeah. I think I was thinking about that too. And in my mind, it's kind of like taking the ownership of the boobs. It's like,
right. Oh, you guys think that? Right.
You think I have tits? Yeah, I have spectacular tits.
Yeah, I know how much they cost, and I know they look good. There's something to that. Something to that indefensible.
Yeah.
But I think the ultimate thing is it doesn't matter. Your body is beautiful how it is, and nobody needs a change.
That's exactly true. Unless you want to, and it'll make you feel better about yourself, then go for it.
Sure. Do what you want.
That it was a plot point in like season 9 of the Drew Carey Show. Oswald, or who was the other one?
Yeah,
Ryan Stiles, and one of them got breast implants.
Right, I remember that. I remember that. And what was the reason?
I don't remember.
What was the reason Drew Carey show that the guy got breast implants? That show was on for a long time, like 10 years.
Yeah, I loved the Drew Carey show. I wonder if I'd like it now.
I know. I think as a kid, yeah, it was like really weird for a sitcom. It was like comedy, not like a situation.
I mean, Mimi.
Mimi and Boss. I mean, Boss was insane.
Ferguson?
Yeah.
Yeah, broad. Very Fred Ferguson. Broad. Frag Ferguson?
His name's Craig, right?
Frag.
Yeah, Frag.
I was going to say, one thing that we might have in common with Drew Carey is indecisiveness, because that show had 3 theme songs. It
oh,
went
really?
Through three, like between
Cleveland
the first few seasons.
Cleveland Rocks
is where they
Rocks.
Landed.
Oh.
But there was one that was like, Moon over Karma, bring my love to me tonight.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
I didn't know that.
The first season one. And I think there was one more also.
Oh, cool. Cleveland Rocks to me was so iconic.
Maybe greatest TV theme song of all time.
And the opening was cool that they like ran around and ended up at like the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame or whatever. I'm not going to go watch that show, but there's part of me that's like, I should watch that show again, but I don't think I'm going to.
If it came up on the Netflix suggests, I would maybe watch it while I had a breakfast one day.
Is it? Yeah, you never really see it anywhere. It probably is on like ABC's streaming, and they're never going to give it to anybody.
WGN? Doesn't feel like that's where it should be.
Right. It should be like right after incessant amount of Cubs games.
Yeah.
when I was a kid and in the summer and just home all summer, Channel 29 at my house, WGN, was like cool movies and so many fucking Cubs games. It's like a Chicago station.
How did they get that reach of all the local stations? Like, why didn't LA or New York or Atlanta have a huge reach like WGN did?
Yeah, I wonder.
Because that's what Bozo was WGN, I believe. I might be wrong.
The show is a show.
Bozo the Clown. That was like Saturday mornings on WGN for me.
Huh. Yeah, I guess I don't know what that was. I thought of it as like a Chicago network of some sort. Like,
yeah.
Because
they played the Cubs games.
Tons of Cubs. Was that like, did Oprah? No, Oprah was always on.
Yeah. Like Oprah, mainstream. I think, was just syndicated. So whatever network had her show, I believe. We're getting in the weeds, and I think people are interested.
This is fascinating.
Hey,
shout out to everybody at home. Look at this. We're in the same space.
We're in the same space.
Isn't this interesting?
We're 6 feet away from each other.
Yeah.
We
should have the tape measure out. We tape measured the other day.
Yeah, we should. We had an example on the video that'll maybe be released with bumped gain for the $50 shit tier.
Mm-hmm.
And we showed everyone that we were 6 feet away from all of our each other's.
Right.
But I should say, I hope I didn't peek there. Hey, everybody turn your volume way up right now. Turn your volume way up. Anyway, we'll experiment.
Don't
there.
Do that. I hope you didn't do that.
You should have known you were going to get tricked by the man.
This guy's the trickster.
I think I said this once before a couple weeks ago, but we have been doing this podcast in quarantine as long as we had done it out of quarantine.
Amazing.
Is that crazy?
It is crazy. What is time? I mean, it feels like we've been doing this forever already, and I can't believe it's a year.
Yeah.
You know? It is crazy. And what were we doing before quarantine? We were having people come to our little office.
Yeah.
I think there was something inspiring about having to figure it out in a new way.
It was nice. And I feel like all our guests, 90% of the time, were like, oh, I hate Zoom improv, and this was actually fun, and I felt comfortable, right?
Yeah, I think so. I think so.
Which I think speaks to you and me.
I agree, because I get it. I mean, the idea of doing like a random Zoom improv show is, to me, not fun. But that's what I like about our Patreon thing is like, I would also not want to do improv at like the Forum in Los Angeles.
Right.
But having like tiny UCB is the perfect place for it. And I feel like our Patreon and little podcast community is the right place for it.
I agree.
Yeah, it's like we've carved out a little niche where you get to do improv, the thing we love. But it doesn't feel like a lesser version of TV. It's like, no, it's just supposed to be this.
Yeah, it's improv on Zoom.
Right.
There are going to be some really very funny moments, and it will be delightful all the way through.
It's been a blast, man. I've been loving it. I kind of don't want to go back to IRL if it's ever available.
I miss it.
I mean, sure. I like both, you know what I mean? But I think there's something cool about the ease with which people can show up at their computer screens, do it, and like, I think you get maybe a little more out of it.
Yeah.
Being in person obviously is better.
It becomes a lot less of a commitment than can you drive to our office?
Right.
Drive home through traffic, the bullshit.
Right.
It's just like, it's in your house. So the commitment is literally the time we're recording.
Right.
And that's it.
I think it's like one of the things that quarantine has showed us in many ways of like, you don't need to go into an office every day. Same with this. It's been like, oh, it's weird that you can do this remotely and it still works.
Yeah.
You know, like I would have thought, oh, this is going to ruin it. But it's been just as fun in a different way.
Yeah.
Not like less fun and we're making do. It's like just different fun.
And I also think that's like the improv mindset. It's like when I heard Jordan Peele in an interview talk about someone was like, how does improv inform directing? And he was like, well, I don't do like a bunch of improvising and takes, but it's more, it gives you the mentality that you don't have to be precious about everything, where it's like, the shirt was supposed to be red. Oh, we got a green one. Okay. Right. Like, we can work with that, or whatever the thing is. You know, we were supposed to have 24 days to shoot, and now we only have 22. Okay, we can work with that.
Right.
And I feel like it helps you be malleable in a way that I think is a skill of ours.
And I think that's, like, the way that nature is kind of creative. It doesn't, like, go like, oh, well, I grew wrong.
Yeah.
It just keeps growing in that new way, right? And I think it's good to be open to whatever growth is available to you, rather than like, I'm only up for one kind of growth.
That's nice.
It does feel like more naturally aligned. Did you ever watch that show Abstract on Netflix?
No.
I'm obsessed with it. And it's all about like design and art and stuff like that. It's mostly about design. But this one woman who's on it is like this leader of a design team at MIT. And they're working at designing things with organic compounds that can serve the purpose of inorganic stuff we use. So if they can like grow a thing that functions like plastic, but it wouldn't be plastic that, you know, destroys the world or whatever. And one thing she talks about in this like incubator that they're in this MIT crew, is that like anyone in this thing can drastically change the direction that we're heading at any time, if it's needed.
Mm-hmm.
So it's this same kind of idea where like, we don't know that the work we're doing is the exact right work. We know that moving forward with good work is the goal. So if that work changes and takes a left, but there's a big opportunity there, like we have to follow it.
Right.
Rather than go like, no, that's outside of our purview. It's like, well, why is that our purview? Why is that what we decided we have to work on forever? And I think that's such a cool idea of like,
yeah, it takes away the like, dogmatic thinking is such a, I think, burden to like growth and creativity.
Right. Because you're focused again on like results, right? And you're like, it doesn't exist. So why are you shooting for like a fictitious thing? That I feel like is what improv has taught me, is like, oh, there is no right way that people need it to get to.
Right.
They just enjoy whatever they see.
Right.
You know?
Yeah. But yeah, exactly. There's not like the perfect scene, other than the one that's just like followed the thing that made the most sense in that moment.
Right. Doesn't exist. And in reality, we live in a constantly changing universe and world. So why would we pretend that we don't, by being like, no, finite is the thing.
Isn't that so hard to like let go of control?
Yes.
of it all.
Yes. That's, I think the older you get, you have to realize it or else you go crazy.
Yeah.
When you're a kid, you like need those rules and structures, and then you start to go like, oh, even those are, that doesn't feel right all the time. You know what I mean? Like,
I just watched last night Boys State. They kept playing previews for it during basketball games, and I was like, this does look interesting. It's on the Apple Net channel or whatever, Apple Plus. And it's a documentary about the American Legion, which is like a pretty conservative...
it's like a club.
Club of veterans puts together this huge thing in Texas every year that's like, I think like 600 boys and 600 girls, and they split them up and they do a like they basically in a week do a election. And like at the beginning of the movie starts and it shows you like a bunch of photos from the past, and it's like Bill Clinton did it, Judge Alito did it, Dick Cheney did it,
right?
But anyway,
Judge Ito,
Judge Ito Dito. Ito didn't show up, weirdly. But it was interesting to see. I forget where I was even going with this. I just liked it.
Sorry. Yeah.
No, it wasn't your fault. I think I just talked myself out of
American Legion. They split up and
did an election. I don't know. I mean, what I liked about it, or what was crazy, was seeing Dogma. It, like, it's all these 17-year-olds who communicate politically clearly, right, how they've been shown by the world is, right, how we talk.
Right.
And so, like, and are trying to win an election by pandering to people by, right, like, talking about gun rights or abortion or, right, fear. And it was just really interesting to see, like, you know, there's one main kid who's, like, this sweet kid who is, like, one of the only non-white kids there who, is like Latinx, and he is just very like open and conversational, and then there's a bunch of the other ones are just like loud, in your face, competitive,
right,
and it's just interesting seeing like all how when I was trying to think when I was 17 how authentic I was, mm-hmm, like how much would I fit into that world. It wouldn't if it was conservative, but like you don't have a personality yet, so you're like trying on what you've been shown.
Right.
And so for all these conservative Texas, like,
they're sort of like parroting,
yeah,
whatever has, yeah, been said.
It was interesting to watch and be kind of like scared, but also interesting.
Right. That is such a crazy idea of like, we're always like preparing to live correctly in the past. It's like that already happened. Why do we need to study and replicate it again?
Yeah.
Why don't we like learn from it and then like actively just live our lives in the future, right, rather than like remember that thing? It's got to be like that forever. Like it just makes so little sense.
Yeah, it's, you know? Like I don't know if this is exactly what you're saying, but even with the way we vote is like, or the way our system,
right,
the fact that Congress is like on vacation, right, whatever you call it, hiatus.
Right.
And it's just because they do it.
Absurd.
It's just because it's part of the system. It's like, I think right now you don't get one.
Absurd.
You do not get one until we figure stuff out.
Right.
But it's like, no, that's the rules, is we take a little vacation right now.
Right. Yeah, it's so crazy. It's so crazy. And then if you say like, no, it can't be that way, they're like, well, yeah, but you don't know.
Mm-hmm.
You
mm-hmm.
don't know how things are. And I'm like, well, things aren't that way. They have been that way in the past.
Yeah.
So like I'm here today talking to you and you're acting as if no, I'm not.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like,
but everybody did it before. There's a lot of general talking points that you could try to convince me. I haven't talked to too many people who believe it, but would try to convince me that they're correct, that just don't work for me.
Right.
And it's always been this way is one of them. I was thinking a lot. I think a lot about how funny Second Amendment for hunting is. Like how everyone is like, hey, we understand if you need to hunt, it's okay to have your guns.
Right.
And I'm kind of like, no, I don't care.
Right.
I do not care.
Right.
It's just not worth you getting to kill a deer. So like, even if two kids a year are shot in school, it's not worth it anymore.
I agree.
Hunting sucks.
I agree. And like, we already do hunting in a new way now.
Yeah.
Hunting is not necessary anymore.
Yeah. But we have, I totally understand if you have to hunt. I mean the people who are shooting. No, I don't care.
Yeah, exactly.
You're done hunting.
Exactly.
Find something else to do with your time. Go camping.
Right.
Go fishing.
Right.
That, yeah, that makes me infuriated with the people who are like, I understand.
Yeah.
It's like, well, what do you stand for? Like, who are we talking to even? You know what I mean? Like, everybody's just performing a bullshit thing. It's like, I mean, I'm sure myself included, yeah. But
I just get the, it's so like the mix of masculinity with hunting,
right,
and being like, they want to take away my hunting. It's like, well, which one is it? Are you strong and confident, or are you terrified every day?
Yes. Right. I mean, it's that one. Yeah. It's the latter. Of course. 100%.
I know I'm terrified every day.
What are some other one issues like that?
What
for
is
you?
Like that? I mean, it like it's always been done that, you know, all the stuff with like tradition, which is, right, is easy. Everyone's on this side except for crazy people. But like, calling the Washington football team the right name they have, right, like that stuff, is right, like laughable to me.
Right.
What else is like that?
Well, anytime somebody is asking me to respect tradition, it's like they're asking me to respect them spitting on the present.
Mm-hmm.
It's like we've even had this talk before of like, hey, I know that what I'm proposing is making you like, you don't want to do it because it worries you. I'm already in the place where I'm worried and upset.
Yeah.
So I already have to live with the discomfort every day. And you're arguing that you don't want to become uncomfortable. So you're asking me to like deny how I'm feeling currently because it used to be a certain way.
Right.
And it's like, well, okay, let's talk about the present. In the present, you're a prick.
Yeah.
And so let's discuss this idea now.
Do you, yeah, know,
like I get the past thing and I get that all. In 10 minutes, right now will be the past, and then you'll have been a prick.
Yeah.
So, like, let's talk about what is happening and is going to happen. Like, it's the same shit with all the stuff. It's like history is going to prove all these people were on the wrong side.
Right.
It's just going to. And so, like, you can deny that if you want, but it's going to happen to you. And I'm trying to help you before it happens and you are embarrassed. But if you don't get on the right side of history, you will have been shown as one of the bad people.
Yeah.
So you get to choose how you act for the rest of time, but you don't get to pretend you didn't do it. You know what I mean? Like,
I wonder, I think that's a very good point. Like that, like I'm uncomfortable now.
Yeah.
So like,
you don't want to become uncomfortable.
Yeah, yeah,
well, welcome to where I am.
Yeah.
Like get out of here.
I wonder, I mean, I really need to, I would like to, in a way that is healthy for my brain, like immerse myself in actual conversations with people who have different beliefs than me. Because
mm-hmm.
I don't want to, I used to kind of be able to like read Fox News or whatever, but I can't even do that now.
No.
I can't take in, you know, fear media.
Right.
But I would like to talk to somebody and just be like, oh, like the gun thing, tell me what exactly you mean even.
Right.
Or whatever it is.
Well, they don't. Everybody's just clinging to their side.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? It's just like, you're arguing that because that's what your group needs you to argue, and you want to support your group because that's who supports you. And it's like, fuck. You know we will support you if you just come over here.
Yeah.
The only reason we don't support you is because you're being separate and an asshole. Everybody over here we're fine with.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? All you have to do is come on over. Oh, drives me nuts. That goes out to my dad, who listens to the podcast.
Jack, come on over.
Come on, Dad. Do the right thing.
I wonder what we've talked about this before, maybe not on air, but what my dad, if he was alive, would be 99 right now. Mm. I wonder what my conversations would be with him.
Right.
About, like, Black Lives Matter. I know he was hyper-liberal and, like, hated everybody that right. was conservative.
Stop at everybody.
He hated everybody. No, he would have hated Trump. But I wonder, like somebody, I could imagine him clinging to. So I'll still read the point of view online of like, well, tell people of color to stop committing like more crimes. And I could mm-hmm. imagine him having that point of view. I
right.
wonder how I would talk to him because we never really got into political arguments.
Right. Right.
It was like before. It was a time before I was able to express myself to him.
Right. I also think it would be more intimidating. I'm intimidated by my dad just because of the age difference.
Right.
And you have a larger age difference. I think it would be more intimidating to talk to someone who's even more your senior. I mean,
right.
I know he's your dad, but generationally, you're further apart politically, it would seem.
Yeah.
But maybe not.
Yeah.
Ideologically, but generationally.
Right.
For sure.
Just like lived experience.
Right. Like, he lived in a time where the world was happening differently than it is in your experience.
Well, he's also a relatively open-minded person. So I'm mostly just like, I am fully curious even.
Right.
I don't even know what it would be like.
Right. Interesting. Well, it's not always fun. It's definitely not always fun, and you got to have them anyway. You got to have those talks.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, maybe should we do one on air with your dad?
No, 100% no, 100%. I will not do that. I have no interest in that.
What else is going on with us?
What else is going on? I don't know. It's just a big stall.
Stalwart.
Stalwart. It's like the news and trying to just have a happy day. Was I talking to you about this? No, it was our friend Casey of like the world is.
A vampire.
A vampire, which is very tough, sucking your blood all the time. But the world is hard, and there's lots of shit in the news that can very easily make you upset or sad or devastated or whatever. But at the same time, like, you still got to try to have a nice day.
Mm-hmm.
Because what's the point of living if you're not trying to have a nice day ever?
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? So it's like, it's hard to, like, remove yourself enough to just be like, well, today I'm in a nice backyard having a chat with my friend, and that's good, and this is why I want these things.
Right.
You know what I mean? Like, it's hard to acknowledge all the hardship and everything that's going on right now and also be like, but I'm still going to try to be happy today. It doesn't get you any points to be miserable and not helping. You know what I mean? Like, so to whatever degree you're involved, still trying to have a nice day, it feels conflicting for me. It almost feels like I can't have a nice day, or I shouldn't, I don't deserve one, or nobody gets one until we all get one. And it's like, I don't know. You still got to try to enjoy life and bring that to stuff, I think.
Yeah, I agree. It's very hard to do it for me, and it's nice to hear it said out loud.
Yeah.
It's hard to just like do things for yourself and enjoy life.
Right.
But then sometimes I can also end up in like not doing things for myself or for anybody else. And it's like, so what good is this?
Right.
This is just.
Right. I try to think of it in like just being more proactive rather than reactive.
Mm-hmm.
Like if I'm just watching the news and reacting and being pissed off, I just didn't really spend any of my day choosing.
Mm-hmm.
I'm just reacting. But like, okay, I could also watch the news and be proactive and like go get involved or read or, you know, proactively do that stuff rather than reactively be like, oh, the world sucks. Like, yes, but what part do I have it? You know what I mean? Like, what do I want to, what's my energy other than the thing that made me sad? You know what I mean? Like, you get to make those choices a little bit more, I think.
Yeah. And it's like illogical. But for whatever reason, my instinct is that my inner life should match what I think is going on in the world.
Right.
And it's like, well, everything out here is like scary and makes me anxious and sad. So I'm going to match that with my inner life. And
right.
It's like, you don't have to do that.
Right.
But
right.
I kind of sometimes will create a world for myself where it feels that way.
Totally. Totally. I read this great book. It's like a self-helpy therapy book called Codependent No More. It's all about like codependency and stuff like that. And that's one of the big traits is that like codependent people generally take on the pain of all the world or whatever. Not to say that you are, it's not like a diagnosis, but I feel that way a lot as well of like, well, however everybody else is feeling, I should feel that way too.
Right.
It's like, no, how do you feel?
Yeah.
Or, you know, or maybe it's your inner thing of feeling so uncomfortable that makes you see the world as so sad and miserable and whatever. You know what I mean? Like, well, I don't know.
Yeah.
It's an interesting idea of like, oh fuck, I really give over a lot of my feelings and my, it's just being reactive rather than proactive, right? It's like reactive to my, to the stimulus around me rather than like creating my own feelings or creating my own reality. And like, it's a balance of both. If you do just one, it's no good. If you do just the other, it's no good.
But right.
Like, you have to be able to like proactively live a life and do things and then also react to the world around you. But if you're only reacting to the world around you and not leading from yourself, you could be a little lost, I think. That's how I felt for several years.
Yeah.
Just being too reactive.
I've definitely relate to that. And I've felt like when I've tried to work on it or when I've just happened to leave a situation where I was like being proactive, sometimes I'll leave those. I mostly relate it with like doing comedy, like doing a show. Mm-hmm. But even in social interactions where it's like, I'll leave feeling a little ashamed sometimes, right, where it's like, oh, I took up too much space. I didn't check in with other people. Like, right, I made my energy the prevailing energy,
right?
Because I'm so not used to it,
right?
And so then I like am hesitant to do it again in the future,
right? And it's like this dance between like way over and way under, way over and way under, but never like just calmly present.
Yeah,
for me, like, yeah, or through this reading of like, oh, right, it's like either 0 or 100, sort of like I care about everybody else and not myself, or like I really care about myself today and I haven't said anything about anybody else.
Right.
It's like, how can we all just coexist together? It's like an ego thing a little bit, right? It's like I have to take care of everybody, or I'm the thing.
Yeah.
But either way, you're starting with like me, you know?
Yeah.
How do you just be part of the group?
It's very, but it is like so hard for me to not feel other people's
totally
whatever.
Same.
Even if I'm like dealing with how I react to the feeling, I can't turn off the fact that I am receiving that feeling.
Totally. I feel the same way.
And I think it's like obviously very valuable for performing.
Mm-hmm.
And
right,
acting.
Yeah, I agree. But I think performing is like a really healthy version of it, because we're doing like a proactive thing and engaging the reaction.
Right.
And there's like congress with that, right? It's like you are staying equal, and it's not blindly being loud on stage or meekly being like, was this okay? It's like a good mix of both.
Right.
You know? I wish I could be more like I was on stage or like this in real life. Even you and me talking on this, I'm so open and I'll say whatever. And then we get two guests on and I'm like, hey, how are you?
Yeah. You don't feel
uh-huh,
the same.
Uh-huh. Oh, good. And it's like, I have so many more opinions than this.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, yeah, it's interesting. Hard for me to deal with.
Well, I don't have to fix it.
Yeah, it's just a thing to notice. Yeah. And then, you know, once you bring the awareness to it, you get it.
Yeah.
You know, and it fixes itself, I think.
But yeah, I definitely even, I felt like the, in a way that I could never really explain, but it's so fascinating. I'm sure it exists in all sorts of worlds. The UCB Green Room is like such a training ground for that.
Totally.
Because you are in a room with like 4 to 20 people who you have various like varying like knowledge of each other and relationships, and then on top of that there's like whatever status everyone's placing on themselves or other, right, people. And it, I think I like learned through aging and just going through that space like how to,
mm-hmm,
realizing that my most comfortable and successful like connective interactions in there was the more I could be this way, and,
right,
and trusting that like if anybody rejected me for being this way,
right,
that's not my person anyway, so yes, why do I need to
exactly
be proper for them,
right, right.
But it, yeah, was through activity more than anything else,
right, and comfort and practice,
yeah,
right,
yeah,
you
exactly
did it, you were forced to do it a bunch of times and you got good at it.
Yeah,
like, yeah, yeah. Oh, that green room still makes me nervous though. How do,
yeah,
I do it the right way? How do I show up? Also, like, you only ever obtained more status, so it probably did get easier. Do you,
right,
know what I mean? Like, when you started, it was hard because everybody there was above you in the hierarchy or whatever, perceived or whatever. But then at the end, like, you kind of are at the top, so people do want to talk to you, and they do want...
Right.
Like, you have changed places in that same thing. You're,
right,
now the big fish in that small pond a little bit. It's so weird that the environment changes around you and your place in it,
mm-hmm,
you know? It's like, God, how do you ever get a foothold on it? If everything is constantly changing.
You constantly got to be moving into a bigger pot.
Right. You got to be doing improv, baby. You got to be taking whatever comes. Who cares if it's a green shirt instead of a red shirt?
Zigzag daddy-o.
Zigzag daddy-o. Jazz. Jazz. It is funny, though, the more I just like to make sense of stuff, but all the things I like are like that, like. The older I get, the more I am into like improvisational jazz.
Oh, yeah.
And I like basketball because it's also very improvised. Like football, you literally do a huddle, call a play, run that play. Basketball is like, the play is what we've talked about constantly and we're always doing it.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like it's such a different.
It's so ingrained in you that like you have a set amount of rules you play by. But any sort of thing is going to throw you off, and you have to use all of your history and knowledge to react in the moment.
Right. You're using all of your skills the whole time, not like compartmentalized. Yeah. Sort of. Which, yeah, improv.
Never thought about that.
The jazz I love.
You do. And who are your jazz? Who are your
not
people?
Enough. I like 8 songs on Spotify. You know what I mean? But just while I cook or something.
Yeah.
But that is, that's sort of like my vibe, my vibrational.
Cooking. That's jazz.
Absolutely. That's all jazz, baby. It's all jazz. I guess I don't like plans or planning or I just like I like the flow of it all.
It's nice to
zip, zap, zoop.
It's nice to also start realizing that those aren't things that are wrong with you.
Mm-hmm.
Like, oh, I don't deal as well with rigid plans. Right. Why is that? What's my problem? Why do I have to?
Right.
Why can't I commit to plans? Whatever. And it's like, oh, maybe it's just not comfortable for me, and I should just not be aware of that.
I need to live a life that like makes me comfortable, not everyone around me.
Yeah.
So it's like, okay, well, who are the other people that like this stuff? I bet there's other people like me.
Yeah.
Not just like, oh, nobody at this corporate workspace seems to vibe with me here. Yeah. It's like, oh, maybe I hate them all. Maybe I don't like this.
Yeah.
Maybe that's okay. Not that I need to change everything.
On their like fucking monkey suits.
Absolutely.
That does remind me of just a thing that keeps crossing my mind is like in the whole irony of our current world, how the biggest thing because of tech became open floor plans in offices. And it made offices fully untenable during COVID.
Right.
Like the thing that was like the coolest, hippest, like this is how we interact. This is how every 20, 30 something, 40 something office works is like, we'll never open again.
Yeah.
You can't now.
Right.
Nobody's in their own room.
Right. And it's like, it's not just cool. It's a way to fit 40 people into a room that used to fit 12 cubicles.
Yeah.
So it's like, it's not cool. It's you're saving space and calling it. Young.
Yeah.
It's like, look, we put Fruit Loops in there. Isn't it cool that we have a pantry? It's like, where is my office?
Where's my office and my like good benefits?
Yeah, like yeah. Who knows? I don't know. I got too many things to complain about for how little I'm a part of those things.
But that's why you're not a part of it. They're taking advantage of you.
Hell yeah, baby.
Something came out of my mouth or nose there.
Uh-oh.
Let's remember that the blue mic is mine. So nobody else uses it.
Yeah, let's just not switch around mics today. It'll be fine after a week or something.
Well, we're checked in. Anything I feel else checked.
I feel great.
About?
This was a nice little chat. Sometimes I feel a little like these get a little self-indulgent, and I just want to say I recognize it, and it's fun. You know, it gets a little, what's the word? Pontificate-y?
Yeah.
But, you know, we're chatting, so that's okay.
You're totally right to recognize it. And I'll leave them sometimes and be like, well, that's self-indulgent to have a podcast, I guess.
Totally. So
that's the first step. But yeah, I agree with you.
For me, it's like, I don't know. I think our audience seems to like what we talk about. And so I'm like, okay, well, let's just keep being open in that way.
Yeah.
I don't know.
What's the thing we never talk about that we could talk about?
I don't know.
Because we dance around similar subjects a lot.
Like what? Oh, you mean that we do talk about?
Yeah, yeah.
Right. I guess I would talk about basketball more if I feel like anybody listening cared.
Oh, yeah.
Because I love it.
Mm-hmm.
And
well,
our whole friend group in COVID recently has been directly related to basketball.
All our patrons, if you're not interested in basketball talk, thanks for listening. This is the end of the episode for you. If everybody else, we're going to talk basketball for a little bit.
Dribble, 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 shot, shot, shot.
Why don't you inbound yourself right to the locker room? Yeah. It's basketball time. But yeah, it is. The people we talk to the most are because we text about basketball.
Right.
We're gambling short amounts of money on all the games.
We used to play it together with all of our buds. We used to play it with that group. It's also, it also feels like both, for me, regressive and healthy of like, I played it nonstop as a kid. It was almost my whole personality.
Mm-hmm.
And then I stopped when I grew up and became an artist.
Mm-hmm.
Like, because nobody in theater likes sports.
Yeah, we started hanging out with all these unathletic losers.
It is so true. It's like that they're unathletic losers. That's so true. No, but it's just like, again, like that wanting to fit into a group rather than like be your authentic self sometimes. Right. I just stopped watching sports because like none of my friends at this comedy theater did. And then I think that happened with a lot of people because all of a sudden I had all these friends. It's like, wait a second, we like basketball?
Right.
Yeah, it's okay to like basketball here. Let's like basketball and be fans of it again. And it felt so good to like get back to that part of my life that was so, again, it's the same as improv. So.
It is the same as improv. It's nice to get back to it. It's nice to talk a little bit fast like this sometimes. But yeah, I think that I was the same. It especially dropped off for me when people stopped. I stopped being friends with people who played.
Right.
And because that was like a, I really enjoyed playing basketball, like pick up with friends.
Right.
And when that dipped, I hadn't been watching it for a while anyway, but that's the thing I really appreciated getting back was playing it right. weekly. And I'm so sad to not have now.
Also, reconnecting with basketball for me has made me realize that like anybody's interest is valid. Like, I don't necessarily have to care about it with you.
Right.
But I shouldn't poo-poo anybody's shit. Like, this is...
Don't poo-poo anybody's shit.
This is unfair, but I used to be like, who cares about dancing? Who cares about, like, dance as a thing?
Right.
And it's like, of course, tons of people.
Yeah.
Right? And it's the same way that people say, like, sports ball. Right. It's like, hey, tons of people. Yeah. Tons of people love this. And, it's a huge, huge thing. So maybe it doesn't suck. Maybe it just isn't for you.
Right.
You know? So it's like... Oh, yeah, I can, like, totally like basketball and not make everybody talk about it all the time. But everybody gets to like what they like, and it's not dumb.
Right.
You know, like, I don't know.
What I would like to hear in a perfect world is those sports ball people, what they're actually saying is, like, I felt out of place growing up because I didn't like this, and and it makes me feel bad to be reminded of it.
Right.
And I'd be like, oh, I understand.
Right.
Log off. Log off during the Super Bowl. I don't know what to tell you.
Yeah, totally.
Because, like, that, with dancing, when you talk about it that way, or, like, karaoke, that stuff, I hate that stuff because I'm terrible at it.
Yeah, same.
And so it's like, but I'm not going to go around and be like, why the fuck are you talking about? There was a point where I probably would or be like, dance. But now it's like, oh, you guys are doing that? It kind of makes me feel bad about myself. So I think I'm out tonight.
I also think there's nothing healthier than someone going and doing something you don't want and like both wishing that each other has a great night.
Mm-hmm.
Be like, great. Have so much fun. And I'm glad you can do that without me. And I'm glad you don't need to do my, like, imagine if we both had to love karaoke and basketball when you hate basketball and I hate karaoke. Like, let's just have a night where we do the things we love.
We'll probably and, like each other more.
We don't have to be so attached all the time.
Yeah.
You know, everybody can just do their own thing a little bit.
So that was, we didn't even get into basketball. We're always getting into
the
human element of everything.
How all my relationships are crazy.
And mine are fine.
Yeah, of course.
But as far as the NBA goes, are there any major topics that we want to talk about here?
Well, last night the Denver Nuggets came back and they beat the Utah Jazz from 3-1. They won game 7.
Which has only happened like 6 times in history.
Wow.
I think that series was so cool learning Donovan Mitchell and Jamal Murray are both 23 and they came up together and they both made each other better in the series. Like they were playing against each other and fucking went off. And it was so cool to just see that relationship of these like 23-year-old guys literally living the dream in front of everybody. And encouraging each other in that way that was like, I don't know, I like that a lot.
That must have seemed so unattainable previously to be like, I bet you one of us will score 50 points 3 times in this series. I bet it was like, I mean, we all wish, but no way. There's only certain stars in the NBA. But then if a guy that you've played AAU against for your whole life does it, you're like, well, I'm as good as him.
Yeah.
I bet I could do that if I allow that for myself. You know what I mean?
Once Tony Hawk did the 900, I was like, oh, okay.
Yeah, I can skate on flat ground.
I can get on a board without falling.
Well, no, I can get on a board.
I thought that was like an exciting thing. Just not the way I consumed basketball when I was 15.
Right.
Is getting to, like, or that they reported basketball that I couldn't think of to be like, how cool is this story that these two, like, 20-year friends are playing against each other
in
this way?
It's so cool. And it's crazy to me that they're 23 because they are easily more mature than I am, both physically and emotionally.
Mm-hmm.
like it is so weird to feel like I'm still watching men that are older than me play basketball where I'm as old as the oldest person in the league.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like, because I'm used to watching as a kid. Like, those guys don't look 23 to me. They look 35 or whatever. And I can't believe that I'm 35.
You know,
like, it's wild that, because when I think of what I was like at 23, I could not have scored any points in an NBA game or even like gotten up at 6 a.m. and been to practice on time every day. Do you know what I mean? Like, it is so hard to be a professional athlete in terms of like the professionalism
and
that it demands of you, the like life schedule and eating schedule and hydration. And it's just insane.
If someone was like, here's $70 million for the next 5 years, you think I'm going to that. If I get one paycheck, I'm taking the month off.
It might be so much that I like blow my brains out that I'm like, so I just went from having no money and like negative $10 in my bank account often to 70 million.
Yeah.
What's the world? I can't live in this insane world.
Because first of all, it doesn't make any sense.
None at all.
There's no rhyme or reason.
I'm chubby. Why'd you give me 70 million?
You're Chubby Rain.
Chubby Rain. Oh, really good. Yeah, what else do we talk about? B-ball. I mean, I don't have much to talk about.
That's about it. I mean,
I don't have many interests.
Me neither.
That's why I'm excited about basketball, because it feels like an interest I've allowed myself to dive back into.
Yeah.
When I sort of felt like just maybe a little apathetic for a little while. Feels good to just like love it.
I'm getting closer and closer to reading a book. So as far as Lippert Book Watch goes, I have now decided I'm going to try to decide what book to read. Good. So we'll check in next week.
And are we talking fiction? Are we talking vegetables? You know, something for your brain?
The fiction. I like a fiction.
Okay.
Yeah.
Great. And do you have it narrowed down?
Potentially modern fiction, and that's as far as we'll go.
Cool.
Yeah.
Great.
I think so. Somebody made a suggestion a couple of weeks ago on the Patreon. Thanks for the suggestion.
Oh, yeah.
I don't take suggestion well. No,
even when asked for.
Just kidding. But I'll look at all the suggestions. It'll probably be somebody. A casting director when I was in college came and spoke to us and said, neuroscience says you have to see an idea 8 times before it like lands with you. Mm-hmm. They're talking about like name and face recognition for like people auditioning,
right?
Which I don't know that I believe, but it's always stuck with me. And that'll happen with like a book or a movie where it's like, okay, I've heard about it 8 times. I will now read it.
Right. Right. Yeah, that makes sense.
I did that with that movie Palm Springs.
Uh-huh. Ooh, I like that movie.
I did too.
I forgot about it really quick. I should watch that again.
It was good. Yeah. Everything comes and goes so fast right now.
It's so funny. I remember hearing about that movie and a couple people were like, well, I'm not going to tell you about it. I'm not going to spoil it. It's sort of a secret. There's about to be a spoiler, folks. So again, log off.
Log off. So now we've lost all our basketball fans and our people who haven't seen Palm Springs or our non-basketball fans,
which is 90%.
Yeah.
And then we probably lost a few people who don't want to get spoiled.
So, Ted, this is for you.
Shout out to Ted Tegas.
You know him.
I know all your name, funny name friends from high school.
Ted Tegas, son of Dingo.
That people were like, oh, Palm Springs is... I'm not going to tell you about it because it's sort of a surprise or whatever.
Right.
And it is really cool and surprising, but then you're like, oh, it's sort of Groundhog Day.
Yes.
Or Live, Die, Repeat. Or
it was more I think why I wouldn't want to know about it and why I was glad not to is because it was fun to like go on the journey of what is this movie.
Right. I agree.
They did a really good job of setting it up without it being super on the nose.
Right.
And then making you kind of double take.
Right. And then with the device, they did some cool stuff.
Right.
Like the way that their relationship changed by the end, because he had been through this so many times and like done every aspect and vice versa with her. Again, if you know the tropes of this type of movie, not totally new, but I thought they did it really well. You know, in Live, Die, Repeat, they do the same exact thing where he's like, I've been in love with you. We've done this thousands of times. She like thinks it's the first time they can make it to that farmhouse. And he's like,
no,
we've done
this
a million times. Like, I'm in love with you and I want to just enjoy the day, basically. But yeah, that movie was so cool. And Sandberg is great. I think he's like, he's just so good. And like, not only is he's a good actor and I like him for his performance stuff, but he's just a part of cool stuff all the time. Like, that's what I like about him is that like, if he's in it, it doesn't suck.
Yeah.
You know
him
what I mean?
And those Lonely Island people have such good taste.
Yes.
Crosses over with my taste, at least.
Right. Same with like Seth Rogen. I would say he's pretty high. Like, he's not in other people's bad comedies.
Right.
He's had like a couple biffs or whatever. They're not all my favorite, but I do trust his taste or his whatever.
Same.
Brad Pitt, I feel like, is cool. Like, I like these actors that are clearly also producers.
Uh-huh.
They're not just like showing up and auditioning. Mm-hmm. They're like
choosing what things they make.
Yeah. They're all at the point where they can be a, they don't have to say yes to crap and like work with crappy people.
Right. Also. And I think it's the privilege to not have to say yes, but it's also the like want to,
yeah,
they're following the right thing. They're not just following like fame and celebrity. They like want, they're interested in this.
Right.
Do you know what I mean? Whereas like you can feel a lot of people are just like, whatever the next biggest thing is, get me in it. And that's not what is good. It's like maybe good for your personal career, but it's not good for the thing we all have to watch, you know?
I wonder what I would do. I think I'd be good at that thing.
But
part of me
too.
Is like, you want how much for me to be in the new Suicide Squad movie?
Right.
Sure, I'm in.
Right, right.
How big do my tits have to be?
We're all in. Yeah, yeah. Well, this was nice, Dan. We'll have to think of some new topics that we're interested in.
Yeah, let's think of what we like.
But I like this setup here. I think for our two-mans, this might be a nice little departure.
This is a nice departure.
From the home. Maybe, you know, the computer is for the guest episodes.
Right.
And this, you know, let's get personal.
Let's get personal, hang out a little easier.
Yeah.
Look at this vibe. We are leaning back.
I'm loving it. Ba-da-ba-ba-ba. I'm loving it.
McDonald's. Well, thanks, everybody, for listening. It's been a year, and it's been a year.
Yeah. When will this come out? Will this come out? Because is it the 9th or the 13th?
The 13th, I think, is our one-year anniversary.
And is that the first episode we released?
Yeah, with Lauren Lapkus.
That's right.
On September 13th.
Check out Laugh Time on Lauren Lapkus's Patreon. Always funny, always wonderful. Thanks
always
to Lauren.
Always funny, always wonderful.
She started our Big Grande podcast a little bit and this one a little bit.
Oh, yeah. Our first episode of Teacher's Lounge was technically with special guest Lauren Lapkus.
Yeah, and then we spun it off.
Yeah. So Lauren Lapkus, the queen bee, I would say.
The queen bee and the kingmaker.
And the kingmaker, yeah. And what is another word for that? I guess two is enough.
Yeah.
So thanks for listening for a year. Thanks for being patrons.
That's right. And we're going to post that mask thing, yeah?
Yeah, why haven't we done it yet?
Let's do it now.
There was a reason I had thought that I hadn't. Oh, because I guess we need to figure out how we're shipping them.
Yeah.
But
we're going to upload TBD. A thing to, yeah, a list, and you can sign up for a mask, and then you can have a mask.
Yeah.
And if you don't want one, don't get one. And if you want one, you get one.
And if you want to, join the Patreon twice.
That's right.
Thanks for listening. What else? That's
thanks
all.
For listening. Thanks for supporting. Shout out to Casey Traylor for our wonderful theme song. Shout out to Harry Chaskin. I wish we knew a Cherry Haskin.
Yeah, me too.
Harry Chaskin for our beautiful logo, and Dan Lippert for the wonderful backyard located in
West Coast America.
Goodbye.